shuffle out of the shadows and find that eventually there we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
So on Mondays, we try to get a conversation going on all kinds of family issues, and getting back to school is certainly an issue on the table in a lot of families this time of year. While private school parents may be used to getting their tuition bills, parents of some public school students are not getting bills exactly, but they've received letters from money-strapped schools asking for parents to go beyond the usual expenses like books and school supplies, actually asking for, in some cases, hundreds of dollars in cash to help keep school programs running. We're joined by Jody Becker, who's a mom and a journalist in Irvine, California. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, John.
So, Jody, you got one of these letters, right?
We got a letter, and it's actually attached to a worksheet. So there are some programs that are itemized, and I think the school's really sort of asking you to make a decision. There's a pitch, of course. If you think these programs at our Blue Ribbon School are important, we need your help to keep them going. And then you sort of are implored to work your way through the worksheet and make contributions. And what they were looking for was really about
$300.
But that was on top of the letter that you got before school started saying, please show up at the classroom door with these 27 supplies that we need to.
Now, of course, all parents want to help their kids in school, but this feels a little like going for the jugular, Jody. Did you have that feeling?
Well, you know, I think the real question is the perception of need. The school that my daughter goes to is a very well-resourced public school, but the teachers there actually feel like they need this money or they need these things. And I guess that's where I sort of held the letter in my hand and thought, this just does not make sense to me. Mm. I live near some school districts where kids are really struggling. Teachers are really struggling. And it just seems so odd to me that the perception is we really are in crisis in these other schools that have so many resources.
Well, Jody Becker, mom and journalist based in Irvine, California, we should say California is having all kinds of fiscal problems with its deficit and has had to cut educational programs of all kinds. But Lisa Belkin, who also joins us for these segments, writes the parenting blog Motherload for the New York Times. Lisa, how widespread are these pitches from public schools to parents?
They're all over the country. I don't know that there's a school district that hasn't cut something given the economy. And a lot of what goes are the extras or what they can define reasonably as extras. So a lot of cuts in school supplies, huge cuts in some districts, 50% of school supplies in some districts. So the letters go out saying everything from bring, you know, the following six supplies that normally the school would provide,
case.
Or 27 in Jody's case. Or parents getting together saying, wait a second, the classrooms are going to lose their aides. We need to fund that. And in some places, that it's a collection plate to keep a job in the school. So it's across the board. But I would venture to say it's probably everywhere.
Well, I want to get some more details on Jody's story in just a second. But Lisa, it seems to me, just listening to Jody there and listening to you, that parents who are probably accustomed to getting we want parental involvement kind of pitches from public schools are being told, you know, thank you for volunteering, but we actually just need your cash. The volunteer work that you do is maybe not as valuable as the cold hard cash here. Is that the trade-off you're hearing?
I think that probably varies from district to district. I think they want your time, too. I think they want everything, and they're feeling desperate. And Jody will tell you in a minute what she's done, which is unusual. Most people stop at, I can't believe they're asking me for more money. I don't have more money. Or where are my taxes going? Most people stop at that. Jody went a step further and decided how to allocate both her time and her money. But
well, Jody, you made it. Let's get the details there. You made a decision on your sweat equity value and actually have decided to help the school district out, but maybe not in the way that they'd expect it.
Well, that's true. And one kind of funny note on all of this is that I see for the teachers at my daughter's school that managing the volunteer mommies becomes an added job for them. There are so many moms who want to be in the classroom that they have to work out this whole schedule and literally manage sort of people bumping into each other trying to quote unquote help. So I've seen that because I did volunteer last year and my daughter would like me to do it again. What I decided was, well, I know that less than 5 miles from my house, there are classrooms where most of the moms work, can't come into the classroom, all of the students are English language learners. I thought, you know what? I would actually really be helping there, and that's what I would rather do. So I told my daughter, I will work out a schedule where I can be in her classroom every other week, and I will go to another school every other week.
Well, Lisa Belkin, what is the predicament for people who aren't in Jody's situation, who maybe don't have the time to volunteer, who maybe are too strapped for cash and are still getting these pitches? I mean, can they just sort of have to live with their guilt over not being able to help their school and hoping that nothing happens to their child?
There's guilt. There's the feeling that your child just won't have what the other kids have. And then there's the time element. So money is one. And Jody alluded to the really interesting question of time, which is you send your child to school nowadays, and then you go with them. And there are all these things that parents are now expected to show up for, you know, reading to kindergartners, the publishing room for first and second graders, going on class trips. And I felt, particularly when my kids were in the younger grades, that I was living in the school. And so it is a time or money. Schools are asking for both. And you get to feel guilty on both ends now. Before, right. You just felt guilty if you weren't there. Now you're guilty if you're not there with your checkbook.
Well, speaking of guilt, Jody Becker, I mean, do they keep track of the number of parents who've actually contributed? I mean, is this public knowledge? I mean, is the principal going to publish who's the deadbeat in the fourth grade there in Irvine?
You know, it's very interesting because your producer asked me if I had sent the money, and I said, oh, you know, we're going to send it. I just spaced out. I haven't sent it in yet. But it did occur to me, gosh, I wonder sort of where this data is compiled and who knows. And as I mentioned in the little post I wrote for Lisa's blog, you know, one of the questions is, my child will enjoy all of the perks of her very nice school, and I don't want my child to be a free rider. Of course, we're going to contribute, but I really feel Lisa's talking about the issue that is almost as important, if not more important, which is time. And the presence of a caring adult in a classroom other than the teacher, to me, seems so much more precious in a classroom where the parents don't have the free time to do that.
Well, it's a time versus money kind of trade-off, and parents are experiencing it as public schools ask for real money now. It's Jody Becker, mom and journalist from Irvine, California, and we're also joined by our contributor, Lisa Belkin, who writes the parenting blog Motherload for The New York Times. The family issues for this morning. Thanks to both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.